And let us enjoy our sitting.
Starting on Wednesday, there's a 5-week evening introductory course, 7:30 to 9, taught by Gil. And next Saturday, the Sati Center is presenting a day with Michael Zimmerman speaking about Buddha nature from 9 to 5. And next Sunday, there's a parents' meeting with Gil in the evening from 7 to 9 p.m. So we're very fortunate to have Betsy Rose with us today. She's an accomplished singer and songwriter of folk and progressive music. She's performed widely for over 30 years throughout the world at festivals, ecological conferences, spiritual gatherings, and with organizations such as the La Leche League, Omega Institute, and AIDS and Hospice Services. She's currently involved in the Singing for Peace Project through Bay Area gatherings, rallies, demonstrations, vigils, and concerts. Many artists have sung and recorded her songs, including Pete Seeger, Ronnie Gilbert, and Bobby McFerrin. Dharma teachers such as Thich Nhat Hanh, Matthew Fox, and Joanna Macy include her music in their work. And she's one of the teachers of the family program at Spirit Rock. She was planning on spending an hour with us today, so if it goes a little over, I hope you can stay, but if you can't, feel free to leave at 10:45.
Thank you. Oh, greetings. I've heard about you for so long, and it's wonderful to be among you, and there's so many of you. This is wonderful. This is truly a sangha that's been built out of many hands and hearts. So your reputation has spread far and wide. I told Heather, who's the director of the family program at Spirit Rock, that I was going to be with you this morning, and she was envious. It's okay to be envious for good things like this. So the way that my practice and the Dharma has sort of come to rest in me and become embodied in me is through song. And this, I think, was going on before I was formally introduced to Buddhism. I think children are natural spiritual beings and spiritual speakers, seekers, and in many ways natural Buddhists. And from the time I was quite young, I was writing songs and music, words. So most of what I want to do this morning is share some Dharma through song. And my thought is that after each song, maybe we could have a bell. And instead of applauding or whatever, you're free to bow. I think bowing is awfully nice. it feels very good to bow. And then we can just sit for a moment with whatever has been generated with the music. And at that point, if anyone has a comment or just something they'd like to share, you could just raise your hand and we can have a moment or two of sharing. We could do Q&A, question answer, but I don't have any answers particularly. So you probably have lots of questions, but maybe we can hear your questions and hold them together. So my thought about what I wanted to build the set of songs around today was around the theme of refuge and the three refuges that are so core to our teachings, the refuge of the Buddha and the Dharma and the Sangha. And I thought of refuge because I find myself more and more in need of refuge as our national and international events heat up and foment and are very troubling, are very agitating, disturbing, exciting, lots of emotion, lots of possible emotion around them. And I mean refuge certainly not in the sense of ostrich head in the sand or turning away from, but more of going into a place that is a place of renewal and of sustenance and refreshment so that we can be of service in these times and bring our best intention and our best action, which I'll talk a little bit more about later, into what's going on in the world. So the refuges. Now, I was formally introduced to Buddhist practice through Thich Nhat Hanh in 1987. I was part of a small artist retreat in Ojai, California. And I have lots of stories about that, but I'm not going to take the time. But I will say that he made us be quiet for 4 days, and I'd never done that before. And as a performing artist who's a songwriter, it was just horrible, because I had come to network with other artists and share poems and stories late into the night and sing out under the stars, and to be told that this was a silent retreat felt like, well, how can I be an artist if I'm silent? But it was so wise, because what he was helping us to do was to let our stories go and let our familiar words go and let our habitual ways of being art makers and word makers and song makers, just let it all go and see what arose out of the silence. And after about 4 days, he allowed us to begin to do the sharing and the writing that we came to do. And a whole new kind of writing came out of me at that time. And one of his invitations to us, his core invitation, was to please take this Dharma that originated in another culture, in another time, and translate it through our art into a Western form that would be very familiar and very accessible to Westerners. In other words, don't try to become a brown-robed monk from Vietnam, you know. Be an American, or whatever one is, and use your art to articulate that. So the very first thing that came out of me was a very unorthodox Three Refuges chant to a sort of country Western or country Eastern tone. Oh, and here's some song sheets. Let's pass these around while I'm introducing the song or beginning the song. Now, and don't get locked into these sheets. I mean, you're welcome to have them, but they're really for you to take home. They're not so much to look at right now, because most of these songs don't need them, really. Here's a little bit more if we run out. So here's how it goes. I'm going to just start while you're passing these around. I take refuge in the Buddha, the one who shows me the way in this life. Namo Buddhaya, Namo Buddhaya. Dharma, the way of understanding and love. Namo Dharmaya, Namo Dharmaya, Namo Dharmaya. I take refuge in the Sangha, the community of mindful harmony. Namo Sanghaya, Namo Sanghaya. Okay, now this isn't just for children. So this is a toe-tapping sort of, you know, Buddhist chant. So let's do it. I take refuge in the Buddha. I take refuge in the Buddha, the one who shows me the way in this life. Namo Buddhaya, Namo Buddhaya. Namo Buddhaya. I take refuge in the Dharma, the way of understanding and love. Namo Dharmaya, Namo Dharmaya, Namo Dharmaya. I take refuge in the Sangha, the community of mindful harmony. Namo Sanghaya, Namo Sanghaya, Namo Sanghaya. Namo Buddha, Namo Buddhaya, Dharma, Namo Dharmaya, Sangha, Namo Sanghaya. Let's do that once more. Namo Buddhaya, Namo Dharmaya. the invitation to return to our core true self, to our true nature, to the freshness and the solidness and the spaciousness that is what it is to be human, to be alive, and to have a nature of natural loving kindness, compassion, curiosity, a natural knowledge that much of what we're surrounded with on a daily basis in our culture is not very real or very true to the real meaning of who we are, that consumption and overwork and a sort of argumentative we, they, all the things we're surrounded with are not to get caught up in any real way. And we know this, but we forget it. We know it, we forget it. My son, who's 12, is such a teacher, such a mirror of what it is to be alive, because he's very captivated by so much of the culture, what the culture is offering him, especially as he gets older and is ready to reach out and really try his hand at some things. But in a moment of sleepiness at night, he'll start reflecting even in the most amazing, amazing ways about the true nature of life and the true nature of his being and how meaningless so much of what he obsesses about most of the day really is. It's really quite wonderful to hear him reflect. So this invitation to return is one I think that we need to hear over and over. And I wanted to sing a song by Rabbi, I believe it's Carlbach, Return Again. This is the season, Days of Awe in the Jewish year. It's between the New Year and Yom Kippur, and very much a time of reflection and trying to come home and start fresh again. So I thought we could sing together Return Again, and I'll sing it once. It's on your sheet, but again, very simple song, and then we'll sing it maybe two or three times together.
Return again, return again, return to the land of your soul.
We can all sing that.
Return again. Return to the land of your soul.
Here's the next part.
Return to who you are. Return to what you are. Return to where you are. Return
Thank you for your beautiful voices. I don't know how much singing you do together, but I hope it's a lot. You're wonderful. And singing is such an embodiment of the spirit-body, breath-body relationship. It's really an extension of the practice of breathing deeply and consciously into our body and releasing it with consciousness. The difference, main difference between singing and speaking is the sustain, that it's breath sustained and vibration sustained over a much longer period of time. That's why I'm going to go an hour instead of 45 minutes. I could do this Dharma talk in 20 minutes if I wasn't singing. But the songs just have an extension and a spaciousness to them. So when we sing together today, bring that same wonderful awareness that you would bring to your meditation practice. Let your song, your voice be the practice. And feel the sensuality of it and the release of it, the warmth in your mouth of the breath as it comes up from the warm depths of your body, and the just the deliciousness of vibration, because when you're singing, your voice is vibrating all the bones in your body, especially your upper body. It's vibrating around in your skull. It's opening up spaces in your sinuses and so forth. And it's really Well, it's what meditation is. It's an awakening of the body to its own subtle and beautiful presence. And it's really massaging it, enjoying it. So enjoy. So that was a little bit of that Buddha nature returning, taking refuge in our deeper self. And the Dharma, which is so broad and vast and huge, and I'm going to just pick a couple of little threads out of it, the Dharma offers us so many ways of returning, so many ways of coming home. And one of the things I'm going to spend some time with the children this afternoon, and our theme is going to be impermanence, which is just one of the core wonderful teachings of the Dharma. The first time I heard it, I wasn't so thrilled, though. I heard it with Thich Nhat Hanh. And we recited the Heart Sutra every day at 5 in the morning or something. And the Heart Sutra, you may know, can sound very depressing. It's like, no mind, no body, no senses, no nothing. It's just no, 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 you know. Everything you think is true is not. I took such a cheery, cheery little practice. I took my son to, we tried to see what the bleep do we know. Which I don't know if you've seen it or not, but after about the first 10 minutes, he turned to me and he said, "This is wrong. We shouldn't be questioning these things." I don't want to know. You know, it's like he didn't want to go into the Heart Sutra. He didn't want to go into the mystery of how everything we think is, isn't, and everything that isn't might someday be. It was a little too much for him, and I thought, right on, let's go see Sky Captain and the whatever. You know? So that's what we did. It was really fun. So you should see that too. So, but after many days of silence, except for chanting the Heart Sutra, a song did come to me that helped me to feel graceful and happy with the teachings of impermanence, of all being sort of in passing, and form being really formless, and all that stuff that Gil, I'm sure, has talked very eloquently about, so I won't try. But this song is called The Five Rivers. And it's got a couple of parts you can sing. There's a part, this isn't on your sheet, because there's just two things. One is a repetition of Gate, Gate, Gate. This comes throughout, and every time it comes, just sing with me. Gate, Gate, which is part of the chant at the end of the Heart Sutra. Gate, Gate, Paragate, Parasamgate, Bodhisvaha, which translates basically as gone, gone. Gone far beyond, gone way to the other shore. Just everything just so disappearing. Everything we're holding on to just passing away. And then Bodhisvaha is sort of sometimes translated as hallelujah or great awakening. So that's the happy part. You know, it's like, it's all gone. Whoopee! So sing with me when those times come. Into the stream bed of the five rivers, I see how full and how empty they are, and
My five senses are pouring down that river, flowing into the ocean toward a distant shore. There are... I gotta remember which verse comes first. It's gone, it's gone. I got it back. There are patterns on the water, rivers threaded through, and sunlight spills her secrets on a waterfall of jewels. I'm scooping up a handful, but the form just slips away. Oh, Gate, Gate, Gate. My mind can make believe that everything it thinks is true. My thoughts can fill the universe with words and points of view. But the emptiness keeps ringing till the voices fade away. Oh, Gate, Gate, Gate. From that river, I'm filled with what I've lost. Faces on the other shore, the longing and the cost. But the only thing that's dying is the taste of yesterday. Oh, Gate, Gate, Gate. So what's the use of striving, storing up my plans? There's nothing left to win or lose, just sparkles in the dance on the waters of this moment. In the holy breath I pray. Oh, Gate, Gate, Gate.
And then we chant together the closing mantra, Gate, Gate, Paragate, as follows.
Gate, Gate, Paragate.
And again.
Gate, Gate, Bodhiswaha, Parasamgate, Bodhiswaha, Parasamgate, Bodhiswaha, Parasamgate, Bodhiswaha, Parasamgate, Bodhiswaha, Parasamgate.
Thank you. And again, do feel free to offer your own commentary or experience or Dharma moment or two with us. Yes.
I found that one particularly moving because it, for me, it really translated into language I'm real comfortable with, the concept of no form. Some of the other earlier things were, I found myself sort of tickled and troubled at the same time because the chants that I've done so far in Pali or whatever have been very, like, not melodic exactly, but chant.
Yeah.
And so when I hear a chant that's slightly more melodic and has, and that melody has embedded meaning, I find it harder sort of to get behind that.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. There is a subtle or not so subtle difference between chant and song in the sense of song being a melodic form, and I of course when I was new to the practice found the chanting just horribly boring. There's a wonderful song called Zen Gospel Singing. Have you ever heard that one? Oh, it's so delightful. I don't know it well enough to sing it, but the singer talks about how frustrating it is to sit and sing one note, you know, and how he grew up a Presbyterian or something, you know, and just missed those old gospel tunes and finally got his fellow Zen practitioners to at least harmonize on the chants. At least that, you know. So... Well, one other Dharma, or two other Dharma related songs, and this too is a song of the flesh and the. Water, thank you. Speaking of the flesh. And I just find the teachings of impermanence so challenging because we just live so clearly in a solid form here. You know, there's just no questioning that this body, I can feel it. And if it gets bruised, it hurts. If it gets cut, it bleeds. And I think all of us are somewhat attached to these bodies. And we're born into a world of form and a world of flesh. And yet, when something physical is removed from us, whether it's our own health or a loved one or a possession, my car got stolen last week, so that was one of those little moments of, empty space where car once was, you know. And thanks to this, to the Dharma, I was quite unperturbed, which is really quite a miracle. And I have a beautiful rent-a-car, so much nicer than the car I lost. So that's kind of an interesting material consolation. But I'm getting a little attached to it, actually. But I think this mystery of attaching and letting go gets brought home to us sometimes in the most profound and poignant ways. And for me, one of those times was when I had a pregnancy that was long awaited, just thrilled. And it didn't work out. And I lost a piece of my body that was to be a part of my family. And the very first thing I wrote after that experience was a celebration of the flesh and life, which is so interesting to me, that out of deep, deep grief and loss, sometimes our understanding of this precious, fragile gift of life is so present in a way that it isn't when we're waltzing around, everything's okay at this very moment. So this song is Holy is the Flesh. And it's got a little part for you, it's not on your paper, but just repeat the last line of every verse with me. Oh, thank you for this icy ocean slapping on my skin, the salty taste upon my lips and the music of the wind. Now some say that the body is the shortest way to sin, but I confess, I know I'm mostly spirit, but I sure do love the flesh. I'd like you to sing that with me. I know I'm mostly spirit, but I sure do love the flesh. Here we go. I know I'm mostly spirit, but I sure do love the flesh.
perfume of jasmine in the air sends shivers through my senses down my body like a prayer. When my eyes are open, I can see you everywhere, and I am blessed. I see you in the spirit, and I meet you in the flesh. I see you in the spirit, and I meet you in the flesh. Oh, but the bumping and the bruising are not my favorite parts. Oh, the longing and the losing and the tearing of the heart. And sometimes I get weary and I long to be released, to sail beyond the borders of this body I call me. But it's such a little moment, we are cast upon the sand. Mother Ocean spills us out and draws us back again. But oh, it's so delicious to be dancing down the strand from birth to death, swimming in the spirit, dancing in the flesh, singing in the spirit, dancing in the flesh. So take me in your arms, spin me round and round again, and let us bleed and laugh and touch and love all that we can. For the spirit that created every detail of this plan is saying yes, 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 yes. Holy is the spirit, and holy